ever I preached on the power of insignificance. And I think about six months or 4 months ago, I preached on the signs. But today we're going to look at how the 5,000, or theologically, it should be about, theologians reckon between 15 to 20,000 because they didn't count women and children. So if you bring all of them together, it's about 15,000. So I would say meals with 15,000 people eating with Jesus. And one of the two things we can learn, the reason why we are bringing this topic up, meals with Jesus, is one, what Jesus exemplified to us, the example he gave us. There is something about sharing meals together. There's something about inviting people for meals, because when you're having food together, you're able to chat in a relaxed manner. You know, that it talks about fellowship, it talks about hospitality, you're able to discuss, okay, because you are relaxed. And research shows that in Britain, at least something must go into our mouth every 2 hours. We love food in Britain, either biscuit, just like you just did now. Or you have to have a cup of tea. Something must go into your mouth every 2 hours. In Britain, we consume 9 million loaves of bread every day. 9 million. So we really like food. Can you imagine us using that as a tool for our unbelieving friends to invite one another? And it always has a purpose. I just saw that Jesus used this to socialize with people. He met with sinners. He went to the Pharisees' place. You know, he went to the tax collectors' place, and the Pharisees were saying, look at him, he's eating with sinners. And then the second thing we want to learn is, what did he say when he had meals with these different people? So today we're going to be looking at eating with the 5,000. And then we're going to read Luke chapter 9. I will just read from verse 10 to verse 17. 10 to 17, okay? Luke 9, 10 to 17. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. He replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. But he said to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. One of the very important things in my pastoral ministry is that Gavin was telling me last week that I've been working here for 18 years. And one of the things I've discovered in this past 18 years, I don't think I've seen one person who has refused meals with me, or a cup of coffee, or a cup of tea. I have seen people when I They said, no, I'm not coming to see. I'm not coming to see you. I don't have the time. And I said, can we go for a cup of coffee? Immediately, I said, where, when? Let's just chat over a cup of coffee. So I see meals as a powerful tool for evangelism. One miracle apart from the resurrection recounted in all four Gospels. This miracle, or this eating with the 5,000, was recorded in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is quite powerful. And it's been said that this is one of the very few miracles where Jesus did many miracles at once, to many people at once. One of the things we can learn is that before we begin to look at some of these verses, the meal brought home the truth that God in Christ can supply our need. God knows what you are going through. God knows what you need. This is a proof to you personally. And this is a proof to us as a church that God can supply our needs. God knows how to take care of us. God loves us so much that all he wants us to do is for us to run to him. God is so mindful of us. And this shows the capability of our Lord Jesus Christ to provide for us. So let's look at verse 10 quickly. I want to run through some few things. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. One of the first things that I want to say is that we must learn how to report ourselves to Jesus, what we have done. Many times we talk to Jesus about our manager. We talk to Jesus about our husband, about our wives, about our children, about what's happening in the country, about the weather, about Arsenal losing. They are back on the top now. Sorry, I had to chip that in. Let us learn how to report yourself to Jesus. What you've done, the mistakes you have made, what you didn't do well, what you did well. Because he sent them on an errand. We are sent people. We are apostolic people. So we must always go back to Jesus to let him know our successes. Let's go back to Jesus. This is what I think I have done. Is there any more thing that I need to do? This is where I think I didn't do well in this area. Let's learn how to go and report ourselves, not any other person, to Jesus. You will move so fast. You will progress so well with Jesus. You will develop so well with Jesus. So see what Jesus did. There's nothing for me to add. He took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. As soon as the crowd learned about it, they followed him. See the next thing I saw about Jesus. Many times when we have worked so hard, many times when we are actually tired, honestly, I can say we are very tired. Many times when we need to go and relax and rest, sometimes there may be a need for you to stand up and make a sacrifice. We are so busy in our generation now that it's only when we are less busy, we include Jesus in our program. This is not good. We are so busy. Our attitude to work, our attitude to life is not the same as our attitude to the way we relate with Jesus. Anything you have to do for God is a sacrifice. Whether it's in terms of money or generosity or your time or your availability or you yourself. Let's make Jesus a priority. Yeah. Sorry. I know I'm going on sabbatical, so Judith will... I'm just telling us the truth. If we want to move fast, if we want to see restoration, if we want to see revival in our city, in our nation, our attitude to how we relate with Jesus must change. And it involves sacrifice. That sometimes when you are tired, you know there is moving forward. I need to log in. What are they saying? Sometimes it is service. Some of us, we need to be involved with service. What's your relationship with Jesus? Report yourself to Jesus. I'm sure when you go back to Jesus, Jesus will tell you, you need to do more. Jesus will tell us sometimes, yeah, well done. Jesus will say, I know you are trying. Is there anything I can do? And some of us, we have genuine reasons. Jesus will say, is there anything I can do for you to be able for you to relate with me more? You know why I'm saying this? Some of us, as we are sitting down, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus is saying, your attitude to me, you can do more. And he's saying, I want to encourage you. I want to empower you to do more for me. Because there is more to you than you see in yourself. So look at what he did. He welcomed them. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. I don't want to talk about that, but I discovered that, honestly speaking, to serve Jesus, what are the three things I need? One, be open to people. Be approachable. Welcome people. Be hospitable to people. You will move far in the kingdom of God. Two, talk about the kingdom of God. We analyze so many things. We tell so many stories. And we don't talk about the kingdom of God. What's the third one? Demonstrate the power of God. You can do it. Those are the three things. Honestly, when you see anything I do as a Christian, those three things are quite important for me in my walk with God. Am I approachable? Am I relating with people? Am I serving my community? Am I serving my nation? Am I serving my city? Or am I serving myself? Jesus welcomed. He opened his heart to receive people. What's the second thing? He talked about the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of God, not stories. And the third one, he demonstrated the power of God. So late in the afternoon, I want to concentrate on verse 13 and verse 12 and 13. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place here. Wow, I love that. Late in the afternoon, the reckon is about 5, 6 o'clock. So can you imagine Jesus has been healing the sick, he has been preaching, he has been talking to them, and these people are tired. So the disciples saw that the people were tired, they needed food, they needed accommodation. Their solution was for Jesus to send them away, isn't it? Isn't it? So please, I want you to have that solution. Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and find food and lodging because we're in a remote place. They even gave a good reason why Jesus needs to send them away. Look at what Jesus said. He replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all the crowd. About 5,000 men were there. This is very powerful. Many times, mission. What God has given us to do is beyond our natural power. what God has given us to do as individuals, as a church, as the body of us. Many times, we always operate within what we can see, what is around us, what we can manage, what within our limitation. And Jesus is saying, give them something to eat. The only thing Jesus, the disciples saw was that Jesus should send them away. Jesus said, no, don't send them away. I'm instructing you, give them something to eat. And then we saw the miracle, isn't it? With that he provided food for them and all those things. Do you know many things we say so many times? When we confront a situation where Jesus Christ has given us his, where we know what to do, you know, some of us, I believe God has given us wisdom that can solve many problems in our city. I believe some of us, we have the gift of healing. That when people come to you, all you need to do is just pray for them. But you know what you say? I have never done this before. I have never done this before. When Jesus is saying, you can do a little bit more, you say, I've never done this before. I don't even think I can do it. Jesus says, you can do all things through me that strengthens you. You know what we say? I can never do, we have never done it before. I've never done this before. We limit ourselves based on what is familiar to us. And Jesus is saying, depend on my grace. Depend on my presence. Depend on my instruction. What has Jesus Christ told you to do? And you are saying, I have never done it before. Does it seem like there's a limit in which we can get to? It's like we are just moving in a cycle. There's much more to you. There's an adventure. There's an exploit for us to do, for you to do. Stop saying, I have never done this before. You use the word never. That's what the disciples said. Said, okay, let's calculate 6 months' salary. Excuse me, some of us who have wedded recently, when you have about 300 guests, how much does it cost to feed 300 guests? Tell me now. A lot of money. Let's say £20,000. It's much more than that. Thank God I got married 27 years ago. So you can imagine we are thinking of about £500,000 to feed 20,000 people. That is too much. Even for me, I would think, the disciples are reasonable. Are you reasonable with Jesus? You are trying to reason with Jesus when he's asking you to do something. And he said, I'm going to be with you. You know why I like Ezekiel? God took him to the valleys of dry bones. God now told Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel was very reasonable. He said, well, he didn't want to say, I have never done this before. He said, God, you know. The best thing you can do is when God gives you an instruction, say, you know, I want you to help me. Your presence, as long as your presence goes with me, as long as your grace goes with me, and as long as you will provide for me to fulfill that task you have given me, that is the right, that should be our right attitude when Jesus Christ has given us instruction. From today, don't say again, I have never done that before. Even if what you will say is try. So, you know, he gained a bit of confidence. Then God said to him, can you imagine? God said to him, now prophesy unto those dry bones. And he prophesied unto the dry bones. And the dry bones were coming together. The head of this one will say, I'm not your leg. No. I don't. They just came together and they fitted together. What you have never imagined in your life, what you think is impossible, Brothers and sisters, depend on the presence of Jesus. Depend on his provision. Depend on what he has asked you to do and do it. Stop saying, I could never do this. Some of you are fantastic singers, but you know what you say? Ah, I'm very shy. Some of you, you can look after children, but you know what you are saying? Nobody really knows me well. We give reasons why we can't do things for Jesus. But we don't depend on his grace. So what do I want to say? Now took the bread. When he found the bread, he blessed the bread in verse 16. I'll go back to verse 15 and 14. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the bread. And broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. You know, many times we look at what is available around us. Sometimes we are horizontal Christians. Horizontal disciples. Look at Jesus. Vertical. Both vertical. Jesus saw what the disciples saw, but what did he do? He looked up. That's where my help comes from. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give a vision to see things like you do. Look up. I was flying, I think in July, I was flying from Nigeria through Frankfurt to Manchester. I took a picture with my phone. Can you play the video and see? It makes a lot of sense to me now. Can you play the video? You see, before we took off, you could just see very few things, very few houses. Your perspective, your view is limited to just few things around that you can see. This is horizontal. But see, when we now took off, vertical. Can you see things better? You could see things probably, let me say, 10 kilometers away, 5 kilometers away. You could have a better perspective when you are in the air than when you are on the ground. Brothers and sisters, look up. Go to Jesus. That is the solution for us to accomplish the task God has given us. I want to round up. I saw Jesus in verse 14. Said there were about 5,000. How do you control 5,000 people? And I want to say 15,000 people actually. If he was giving them the bread, people would be rushing to have the food because it was late in the night. The people were hungry. And I know the people of those days. Did you remember Jesus went to the house of someone? And the Bible says crowd gathered. There was a man who was sick, and there was no way they could enter. You know what they did? They entered through the roof. If you invite Jesus to your house, please, probably be aware, your roof might be removed. So people are so desperate to touch Jesus, and he was healing the sick. Did you see what I saw there? The principle of management. Make the people sit down in 50s. Those of you are doing, is it project management or something, you're going to study that 4 years in the university, look at the Bible. What's the principle of management? Planning, organizing, putting things in control, in order, and then let the command, let it happen. That's the principle of management. I saw that with Jesus. Excuse me, brothers and sisters. You know, we have been saying this, the importance of connect in this church. Connect groups. They are vital for what Jesus wants to do. There's a limit to what you can hear to what can happen here on the pulpit. We thank for Sunday's it's meeting needs. We thank God for what we are doing. But brothers and sisters, we need to connect more. We need to relate more. This is a place where we can, like Jesus says, report to each other, pray for one another, ask questions. I need help. Can I help someone? Some of us, we say we are shy. Go to a connect group of 12 people. And you discover that your shyness will fly away. That is the place to start. I saw this principle with Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, you have another 70 people. Jesus related with them in groups. Because there's a limit to how far you can go with 10,000 people. Connect group is very vital in this church. You know what I want to say? Think about it. How many connect group leaders are here today? Stand up, let me see you. Stand up, let me just see you. Good. Yeah, stand up. Don't be shy. So please, talk to these people. Even if all you need to ask is, what do you do in your connect group? In my connect group, at least once every 2 or 3 weeks, we have food together. If you love food, come to my connect group. And it happens here every Wednesday, 7:30. We start around 7:30 and we end at 9 p.m. These people will talk to you. Go and talk to them. Thank you. Sit down. So what am I saying? Connect group is very vital. What's the last thing I want to say? I saw a community of God's people coming together around the table. It was like they shared bread together. Breaking of bread is very important. I want to encourage us in our connect groups today, this week. Let's take time to share bread together. We are just saying, yeah, we have seen something about the power of Jesus. We have seen something about the commission of Jesus, our allegiance together. Let's be united. It's like we are saying we are one together. Jesus did something for us. His presence is with us. His compassion, his grace is for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So what he has told us to do, we will never say this thing has never been done before. We are going to go in his power to do it. Breaking of bread is so powerful when we do it together as a church. My prayer today is that as we look more and as we go further in this series, Jesus himself will feed us. Those of us who have a need, Jesus will meet us at the point of our need. Amen. Jesus can do that. Jesus loves us so much. But Jesus is also saying, I want you to understand today, stop saying, I've never done this before. Why? You can do it. Praise God.